We're talking about secured credit cards here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Secured credit cards are used mainly by people who don't have much of a credit history or who have low credit scores. And according to FICO, the credit score people, there are about 53 million Americans who fall in this category, that they have no credit history. Have you used a secured credit card? What did you think about it? Are you someone with little or no credit? What questions do you have about building your credit worthiness? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security. Peggy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Kate.
So we learned Amazon's new secured credit card is called the Amazon Credit Builder. Help us understand, what is a secured credit card?
Well, secured credit cards have been around for a few decades, and I guess the good news on that end is they've gotten a little better over that time. And so basically with a secured credit card, an individual needs to have their own stash of money, typically maybe $100 to $500, and then they put that money in a savings account or some kind of financial account that's linked to that credit card. And then their amount of savings becomes their credit limit on that credit card. So, for example, if they put $500 into that account, they have a $500 credit limit, and they could charge up to that amount on their secured credit card, although it's not a good idea for, you know, getting that close to your credit limit.
So basically then, if you try to make purchases over that limit, the card won't work?
That's right. So it won't work. You could be rejected. And also, if you miss a payment, it's called secured because the financial institution or the secured credit card company will take your payment right out of your linked savings account. So it has kind of that safety net for the credit card company if somebody, you know, starts going over the limit or not paying their bill or not keeping up with those payments.
So how would it differ then from a debit card?
Well, a debit card is using your own money. You're correct with that. But when you use a debit card, it doesn't do anything to build up your credit. It's not reported to any of the major credit bureaus. And that is something you do want to make sure if you are interested in getting a secured credit card. Most report to the major credit bureaus, but not all. And it doesn't do any good building up your credit if it's not appearing, your on-time payments are not appearing on your credit report. So, for example, with a debit card or a checking account or a prepaid credit card where you're using your own money, those are not reported to the credit bureaus.
So who would be a good candidate for one of these secured credit cards?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, it could be somebody who has no credit history, maybe a young person or just starting out, or a lower credit score. So they want to work on building up that, you know, establishing that positive on-time credit payments. And, you know, it's not for everyone, though, because you still have to come up with that savings amount that you won't be able to touch for maybe that year or the 2 years until that secured credit card ideally rolls over into a regular unsecured credit card, and then you can have access to your money again.
So this
so you
is
do have to have the savings.
Yeah, this is like a stepping stone then to a regular credit card.
Yes, absolutely. Many are set up that way, and that's another thing you want to check if you're shopping around for a secured credit card. Does it roll over into an unsecured credit card? You know, that might happen after 1 year, 18 months, 2 years. You know, and that's a way for the credit card company to also establish that relationship. They get to know you as a reliable customer, and then you might have the brand loyalty, and you might stick with their card. So then they want to roll you over into a non-secured card, and you get your money back, your deposit back.
We're learning about secured credit cards with Peggy Olive. She's a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security. Do you have a low credit score? Is it something you're concerned about? What strategies have worked best for building or rebuilding your credit? And what would you recommend to others in that situation? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Peggy, with these secured cards, do rates and fees differ from one card provider to the next?
Yes, that is a good thing to look for when you're shopping around. There are some secured credit cards that have no annual fee or a low annual fee, and then there are some cards that have a higher, maybe $35 or $50 annual fee. So obviously you want to look for the lowest annual fee. And then also a secured credit card typically has a higher interest rate than a non-secured credit card. But really the idea is you're trying to build up your credit. So you want to keep whatever you charge on a secured credit card low, and then you want to pay it off in full on time every month. So the interest rate shouldn't be a factor if you're paying off the whole balance every month.
And you mentioned that secured cards often require a cash deposit. Can that deter low-income families from trying to build credit? And you also have to have a bank. So many families are unbanked.
Yes, absolutely. You have to have some way to save up the amount of money. For some secured credit cards, it could be $50 or $100. So that is something at least could make it a little bit more in reach. And also the secured credit card would have their own financial account. So if you got a secured credit card through your bank or credit union, you would deposit the money with them. But other secured cards have other financial accounts, so you wouldn't necessarily have to use your own bank account.
Have you seen any other retailers besides Amazon offer these types of cards in the past?
Nothing like what Amazon has rolled out, nothing that I've seen. I mean, there are the major credit cards. You can think about Citibank, Capital One, all of those major cards that do have some version of themselves, as do financial institutions. But I haven't run across anything that's been linked like the Amazon one with their perks that they have attached to that, too.
Well, let's talk about some other ways to build credit. If a secured credit card isn't a good fit for someone, what are some other options you would recommend for building your credit worthiness?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, you know, it's even worth checking around to see if you can get a non-secured card before you would get a secured card. So sometimes retail store cards, like a gas station card or department store, it's a little bit easier to get a credit card through a local business, and usually the credit limit is a little bit smaller. So that could be a easier start than trying to get a major, you know, MasterCard, Visa, Discover. So that would be one thing to look into before you even go the secured route. And then also, you know, for people who have a financial institution or are interested in establishing a relationship with a local bank or credit union, there's an option called a credit builder loan, where a financial institution would lend an individual, maybe it's a $300 loan, and that loan goes right into a savings account with that financial institution, and that person makes monthly payments to pay back that loan. And they don't have to come up with the $300 all at the same time like they would with a secured credit card, but they still would have to have a way of making those payments on the loan. And then after 6 months, or when the loan is all paid up to that limit, that $300, then it's reported on their credit report, and they get to keep that $300. So it's also kind of a forced savings account.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's another option to look into.
We're talking about secured credit cards, building credit with Peggy Olive. She's with the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security. Do you have low credit? Is it something you're concerned about? What strategies have worked best for building or rebuilding your credit? What would you recommend to others in the situation? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at secured credit cards and building your credit worthiness. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Amazon recently started a program for shoppers with no credit or bad credit. They would otherwise be disqualified from Amazon's loyalty cards. Secured cards are a connection to a really big segment of our population. According to FDIC, a quarter of U.S. households are either unbanked or underbanked. Have you declared bankruptcy? How did the lack of credit affect you after that experience? What questions do you have about the whole variety of credit cards available out there? Have you used retail or airline cards? Join in the discussion at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security, and she stays with us. Peggy, strategies for rebuilding credit are a bit different than just building credit in general. Can you help us break down what is the difference there?
Oh, sure. There might be some options available to people who have what we call a thin credit file, where they don't have a lot of credit history. You know, maybe they've just turned 18, or maybe they're just newly residents in this country. So they don't have a lot of credit history, but they don't necessarily have any negative credit history. Versus, you mentioned if somebody has declared bankruptcy and they would have a credit report which would have negative items in their file, which would really bring their credit score down. So for somebody who is just starting out, you know, they might be able to get a small retail store card, a credit builder loan, or perhaps a secured credit card. For somebody who has a negative history, they're kind of having to prove themselves over again if they're interested in rebuilding their credit, kind of starting over. So for somebody who, for example, if they're rebuilding their credit history from having some negative events, whatever bills they're currently paying, maybe they've reobligated a mortgage or a car loan, or usually credit cards are closed. But if they have utilities or a rent payment, they can work on paying all of those bills on time every single month. And those, you know, their utilities may not necessarily report to the credit bureaus unless it's a really large utility or landlord. But if they miss a payment, that definitely is reported, could be going to collections and show up as a negative event. So just establishing on-time payments and having that habit and keeping up with your current bills starts giving you some good track record of at least keeping up with paying those bills.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Heather is joining us from Madison. Hi, Heather. What's your question?
Good morning. Thank you for having this topic. I am calling because I had someone in casual conversation a while ago mention something about a virtual credit card number, and I've never heard of it before. I didn't get a chance to ask much for questions. To me, it kind of sounds like it would be a firewall between the world and your real credit card numbers. I was curious if you knew anything about it, when it's appropriate to be used.
Yeah, Heather, so virtual credit cards. Peggy, what do we know about that?
Not much on my end. That's not a term. I guess I'm not sure how the person was using that, you know, if they were using it as a firewall, but it's also linked to some other credit card or a banking account.
Yeah, apparently some credit issuers, you can get a unique virtual credit card number that links to your main credit card account, and using a virtual credit card may help protect you against fraud when you shop online or by phone. So that might be a feature, perhaps, of some card issuers.
That certainly could be, like you said, kind of a feature, a safety net. I mean, we've had cards convert to the chip cards, which you get a one-time usage authorization number every time you use the chip card. So they're certainly trying to build in other authentication factors.
Yeah, how safe are credit cards these days? How often do they get breached?
Well, unfortunately, you know, every few months you turn on the news and you hear something that a credit card holder or a credit bureau or could be another business did get breached or the information was stolen. But really, there are a lot of precautions and consumer safety nets in place in terms of if someone just accesses your credit information, that you're not responsible for those charges, to contact your credit card company. And that's why it's so important to keep track of and keep an eye on your credit statements if you have a credit card, to just look for any charges you didn't make and then contact the company immediately, so they can, you know, fix it up, cancel it, get your new card, whatever it might be.
We're talking about building credit with Peggy Olive. She's a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security. With your questions along the way, what questions do you have about the variety of credit cards available? Have you used retail or airline cards? Join in at 800-642-1234. Peggy, how can student loans affect a young person's credit? These loans can, you know, be a significant amount of money for borrowers with thin or no credit. So what is that credit score relationship?
Well, sure. Student loans can be a young person's first credit that's been reported to the credit bureaus if they don't have a credit card or landlord or utility reported yet. And once they graduate and start making those payments, that can really start to help build up a positive credit history. So making those on-time payments and just, you know, plugging away at that. If they miss a payment, unfortunately, that lowers anyone's, you know, credit score. So they want to keep working on paying those amounts and keeping up with that. And then it could help them to build their other credit. Once they start having a positive track record of paying back student loans, then they could look for, you know, other credit cards or retail store cards that would start adding to that positive history.
So pay on time, pay at least slightly more than the minimum. What are some other tips for paying back large loans like a student loan or a mortgage?
Sure. Well, just like you mentioned, you want to keep up with those payments, pay on time, just to establish that regular history. I think it gets a little bit more challenging when you have something like a credit card, whether it's secured or not. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. When you have a credit limit, let's say it's a $1,000 credit limit, people think, okay, great, I can charge up to $1,000 and I'm paying, you know, my monthly payment on time. But anytime you use more than about 25% of a credit limit on a credit card, it's going to lower your credit score. And with some credit models, such as the FICO, they wouldn't want you to use any more than 5% of your credit limit if you're interested in boosting your credit score. So really, I mean, the credit card is there for convenience, but you really want to watch how much you're charging on that.
Even if you're paying it off fully at the end of a cycle, end of the month?
Yes, even if you're doing that. Because when they're pulling your credit score, it might be right, you know, the day before you make your payment. So it could look like your balance is very high.
Peggy, there are so many card options out there. There are airline cards. There are cards where you get certain incentives to use businesses. How do you go about looking at the rewards and figuring out which rewards are best?
You're right. You just get online and you can search through all those. And just knowing that there's many websites out there that they get a kickback or an incentive for promoting that card. You know, there's trusted sites, perhaps going to Consumer Reports and checking out their ratings, or the Better Business Bureau checking out ratings of certain credit cards or the institutions. But definitely shopping around, comparing, looking at, you know, not to promote any particular sites, but there's for bankrate.com is one of probably the most popular ones, credit.com, NerdWallet. So there's tons of sites out there, or Consumer Reports where you have a unbiased information. And I do want to say, I mean, they're always coming out with new products, new ideas, and there is another option that was just launched a few months ago by Experian, the credit reporting bureau, that has an Experian Boost product, where people can choose to have their financial institution, their banking checking account, attached to their Experian credit report, where if they pay their utilities on time, their cell phone on time, that will show up in their credit report because they can look at that on-time payment through your checking account information. So that's another way. It's a brand new model, just came out a few months ago. But, you know, there's pros and cons. So that's assuming you're okay with linking your credit card to your bank statement. That assumes that the lender is going to be using FICO 8 score through Experian. But it's also another option for people to check out.
Well, Peggy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. There's always exciting things happening in the world of credit.
Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist at the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security. Join us Thursday for a midsummer celebration featuring music, storytelling, and comedy from the shores of the Mississippi River. We celebrate the holiday with laughs and music from guests, including Twin Cities comedian Amber Preston, Northern Wisconsin cellist Ed Willett, River Falls poet Thomas Smith, and a trio from La Crosse. It is the Big River Radio Wave Independence Day special. That is Thursday, July 4th at 6 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, back by popular demand, we're talking about ticks and Lyme disease. Have you ever received Lyme disease from a tick? What did doctors recommend you do? How do you protect yourself now? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back with how to protect yourself from ticks and Lyme disease after this news update on the Ideas Network.